And our scripture reading this morning is Luke 10, verses 38 through the end of the chapter. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Listen, this is God's word. For as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." The reading from God's word this morning. Several years ago, it was about a year into my full-time work at the Belmar Church. I'd been there for full-time for a little over a year, been married for about 6 months by that point. And some of you might know that at that period, Pastor Church, the senior pastor down there, went away for a summer-long sabbatical. And so I was left all by myself as the full-time guy to kind of take up as much as I can, helped out by the elders. So there I was, trying to figure out how to do this, and Maggie and I were trying to be real disciplined about, you know, getting things in order, and especially starting off the day. We had this whole routine. You know, we were going to start things right and get everything together, and so we had this routine worked out. We'd get up, and we'd exercise, and then we'd shower, and then we'd quick eat breakfast together, and then we'd go and over to the couch and read the Bible together, and we'd pray together, and still try to get to the office at a good time. And so everything had to take place just so. And, you know, we frequently would not make it. And, you know, I'm one of these people who just can't stand being late. It really frustrates me. So there we are one morning, sitting at the breakfast table, and I glance up at the clock and let out this groan, this, you know, one of those groans that's, you know, as if there were a conspiracy between the clock and the cereal bowl and my wife that to make me late. You know, and then I start rushing around, tossing, you know, cereal and cereal bowls, and you know, all the while my mind and my heart is thinking, I got to get to work, I got to get to church, I got to do the Lord's work. Then we sit down and open up our Bible passage for the day, and you'll never guess what Bible passage we read that day. But Luke chapter 10. Reading the story of Mary and Martha. Can you identify with that scene, with this scene, with in the midst of the rushing around, getting things off, or what I'll call here this morning the distracted life, doing, as we'll say, not necessarily bad things, but doing, and something's just not quite right. Priorities, perspective, just off. And this is something for all of us. I think a lot of, as I've over the years have heard people talk about this passage, these especially women identify with this passage, and they'll talk about, you know, I'm a Mary, I'm a Martha, and, you know, but this is more than just a female passage. This is for all of us who go through life and are busy at things, but again, seem in the midst distracted. Well, how do we unpack this? What are first of all, some clues of the distracted life, some clues that something's not right. Well, one clue of the distracted life is busyness. Now, being busy in and of itself is not something bad. Work, the scripture declares, is good. It was given to man before the fall, when the world was perfect and there was no sin. And so obviously God thinks of work as something good. He himself worked. And we in his image work. So being busy about work is not a bad thing. But it's especially busy people who are tempted to the distracted life. And not the busyness that's bad, but it can set us up. It can be the context in which distraction takes place. And that's what we have here. We have Martha being busy. She's introduced here as a woman who welcomed Jesus into her home. Probably gives you the implication there that she is the older sister. It's introduced as her home. She's named first. She's probably therefore in charge of that home. And Jesus and his disciples come to stay at her own initiative. So you get some very positive things about Mary. She has a heart for hospitality. That's a wonderful thing. The Bible declares that as being the mark of a believer, hospitable. So nothing wrong there. And she's busy about serving. Not anything wrong there either. Of course, you can understand there's needs. Jesus coming and staying in your house. Of course, you want to welcome him with food. And it's probably, as you get it here, that she had no warning that they were coming. They just showed up in town and she decided to invite them over. So she wasn't prepared for all these extra guests. You can't just take stuff out of the freezer and throw it in the microwave. But even if you could, you wouldn't do that to Jesus. Right? This is a special guest. Some commentators can actually be kind of hard, I think unfairly hard on Martha here, saying that she was trying to be too extravagant with her preparations. And I don't think there's any indication here in the text that she was, but even if you want to give it that she was being very extravagant in her preparations, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, wouldn't it? After all, this wasn't anybody who was coming to her house. This was the King of Kings. This was the Lord of Lords. In other places, you have Jesus criticizing hosts for not being extravagant enough with him. Remember, Jesus goes over to Simon the Pharisee's house, and he's critical of Simon because Simon doesn't give him water for his feet or oil for his head. And who does he commend? But the sinful woman who is extravagant in pouring on the expensive ointment. So extravagance for Jesus is not a bad thing. So the problem isn't that she's hospitable. It isn't that she's perhaps extravagant. Isn't that she's doing things. She's busy, but she's busy with good things. Probably a place where most of us can identify. Most of us are pretty busy people. You know, there's a whole separate sermon for laziness. And that's a real problem. And something that Scripture condemns. It's sin to be lazy. To sit around and not be about the work that God calls us to do. Not be about using our gifts in His world and for His kingdom. Here we're not speaking of that. Here we're speaking into the busyness. And we're noting it's not wrong. And we're connecting, I think most of us are connecting with, this is where we live. We're busy people, you know, especially Americans. You know, we're more and more busy. Life gets more and more about how we can do more things faster. And so we can identify that. We even do church this way. You know, it's the mark of a good church to have more and more activities. You know, it must be the more activities, the better the church. They're more active. It must be something more going on. We're busy people. That's not in and of itself a bad thing. We're supposed to be about the Lord's business. We're supposed to be active, pouring out our lives, using our gifts. But it's in the midst of that busyness that there is a temptation that we need to watch out for. A temptation that we'll call here the distracted life. So in the midst of the busyness, it's at least to you a clue. I need to look. I need to make sure that my heart's in the right place. Well, the first clue of the distracted life is busyness. The second is being critical of others. And it's here that Martha really seems to show forth what's in her heart. Comes to Jesus, and she says, verse 40, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Clearly something's off here. She's critical of her sister. Not only critical of her sister, if you listen carefully, she's critical of Jesus. You know, what's the implication? Jesus, if you really were paying attention, Jesus, if you really loved me, you would have fixed this situation. You would have spoken into it. So clearly you don't. He's criticizing Jesus as well as his sister. And what does Jesus say in another place in the Gospels? It's out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So here Martha, in setting forth these words, she's revealing her heart. She's showing that what's on the inside, something's off. Call it here the distracted life. Something's not quite right. And as Luke tells us, she was distracted with many things, as Jesus will go on to say, anxious and troubled about many things. Not the busyness itself, but what's going on inside comes out through her mouth by her being critical of others. And watch yourself, because this is where you'll get a very strong clue that you're living the distracted life by what comes out of your mouth, especially the criticism of others. Isn't that our temptation when you're so focused about getting things done, the tasks become everything. All of a sudden, you get to be very picky with other people. With those people who aren't pulling their weight, the people who are not working quite as hard as you. You start to notice. When you're all about getting things done, you start to notice so-and-so's not pulling their weight. Start to notice people in the church. They don't work as hard as I do. And they're not signed up for all the things that I do. They're not doing as much. Or around the home, you're trying to get something done. You're trying to get something accomplished. And then, there's your spouse. And you start to be very, very critical about what they're doing and what they're not doing. If they were really paying attention, they'd be working, doing this or that, being more like me. At work, catch yourself. Sometimes it'll come out your mouth. Sometimes it'll just rattle around in your head. But the fact that you tend to be critical of others about what they're doing and not doing is a big clue that something's off. Something's off. And it is here with Martha. So what causes it? What is underneath it? Something's wrong. What is underneath it? We've tried to set forth. It's not necessarily Martha's action, but her heart. And as Jesus says in verse 41, speaking about her heart, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Anxious and troubled about many things. Something there in her heart. She's not peaceful. She's not calm, even in the midst of her work. She's anxious and troubled, and it comes out through her mouth. She allows the good activity that she's doing to distract her. And she misses what Jesus calls the one thing that is necessary. And that's where he brings in Mary, the other sister, who's there in the home. And what is Mary doing? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, that posture, that's the posture of a disciple. That's the posture of a learner. It's a posture of submission, a posture of teachability. Now, just as an aside, this is a pretty shocking thing in that context to have a woman in that kind of disciple role. You didn't do that. But here's Jesus not only is saying it's okay that Mary is there, but commending her. This is the good thing. This is the good portion. She's got it. A pretty amazing thing. Don't ever, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, don't ever say that Jesus hates women or is against women. Not at all. She's commended here. But here we get this picture. She's at the feet of Jesus learning. Here is the great teacher. Here is the King of Kings in her home. And she is focused on sitting before him. And she wants to hear him speak. She wants to hear him teach. She wants to learn. And she's focused on that. And she won't be distracted from it. I'm sure if you questioned Martha, Martha would have certainly said, if you asked her directly, is it good to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn? She would say, yeah. The problem wasn't that she didn't know it was a good thing, but she was so distracted by the to-do list that she didn't see it. And she was distracted by it. And that's the same thing with us. Most of us would say, of course it's good to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn and take that time apart from the to-do list. We would say that it's a good thing, but the question is more in practice. In practice. So you could probably define the distracted life as something like this. Being so productivity minded, so task oriented, that you're worried and upset. Doing good things with the wrong attitude. And in the end, failing to do the one important thing, which is enjoy God, our Savior. Often what we do is we tend to take that catechism question. What's the chief end of man? right? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We tend to take the first part, to glorify God, and translate that into doing things, and then forget about the second part, enjoying Him, when the two are meant to go together. It's not enjoying God as apart from activity, but in the midst of doing, in the midst of the tasks, enjoying the God who has made us. And that's why the problem is really in our hearts here. Being so productivity-minded, so task-oriented, that we have the wrong attitude. We're worried and upset. And in the end, we really fail to do the one thing that is important, which is enjoy God, our Savior. And so it's not a God-centered life. It's a self-centered life at the end of the day. That's what the distracted life is. It's a self-centered life. It's about what I'm doing, what I'm getting done. Which is why the issue here in Mary and Martha isn't one of personality. A lot of times that's how people talk about this. You know, I'm more of a Mary. I'm more of a Martha. You know, it talks about bent or personality. Well, it's true. Some people are more type A. Some people are more contemplative in personality. But that's really not the point. The point is the heart in the midst of it. If you're more productivity oriented, that's fine. Work is good. But in the midst of it, have you lost that one important thing? Makes us think perhaps of another passage, Revelation 2, Jesus speaking to the church in Ephesus. And there he says to that church, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. Doing good things. Good thing. And he acknowledges them as good. Deeds, hard work, perseverance, and yet this rebuke. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You've forsaken your first love. It's not the hard work over against the love, as if you had to pick one. Pick a Mary or a Martha. But the problem comes when we separate the two. And that's where we see Martha. And that's where we often run into problems in the distracted life. We separate the first love from the hard work, from the doing thing. Which then gets us to, well, how do we cure this? How do we turn this around? Well, Jesus says to the church in Revelation in Ephesus, repent. Repent. Turn around. Turn around. And that's what we're called to do. Well, if you see this starting to happen in your life, starting to take shape in your life, in the midst of the busyness, it comes out in your words and you realize you're not in your heart going after what is really good. It's not this God-centered life, but at the end of the day, it's really just about you. Turn around. Repent. Acknowledge it for what it is. It's sin. Turn around. Then start to walk in the right path. Well, what does that right path look like? Again, not necessarily not doing things or changing personality. But here's some clues of what it might look like. It means making time for what is best. Making time for what is best. Jesus here declares that Mary has chosen the good portion. She's chosen what is best, to sit and at the feet of Jesus and hear Him and receive His word and learn from Him, to enjoy His presence. And there are times in our lives, and there must be times in our lives, where we put away the to-do list and we sit at the feet of Jesus. That, in many ways, is exactly what the Lord's Day is to be all about. Given to us not just as a suggestion from God, but it's demanded, not over against work, as if one was somehow better. The command is 6 days of labor. But then there's a day where the to-do list is put aside, where the value of the day has nothing to do with productivity or getting things done, but sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so as you think about how you spend your Lord's Day, think about this is a day where I put the to-do list aside and I sit at the feet of Jesus and I enjoy Him. I listen to Him. I hear Him speak and I rejoice in Him and in His people. It also points us to the importance of having times of sitting at the feet of Jesus throughout the week. Devotions with our family or by ourselves. How important that time is so that we make sure we know what is best. And we're reminded of what we're to be about. That it's It's more than just checking things off the to-do list, which is why we see here it really is a change in orientation that God is talking about, that Jesus is talking about. Not just stop being a Martha and be a Mary, but a change of orientation from a task-oriented life, which is really, at the end of the day, a self-oriented life, to a God-oriented life. Might mean we work just as hard, but it means we have a different orientation. As one pastor put it, he said, we're doing Martha's work with Mary's heart. You know, that becomes what the 6 days are about. Okay, at the seventh day, that's the day where we sit at the feet of Jesus in that concentrated way. What do we do with the other six? Do we just act like the world and it's all about the to-do list? No. We do Martha's work with Mary's heart. So your temptation going back to work tomorrow will be for the to-do list to be everything. The value of the day tomorrow, it'll be tempting to think, tomorrow's a good day if I check off enough things, if I get enough things done. And what it is, we need to change that orientation. All of a sudden, it's about being God-oriented. Martha's work with Mary's heart. And now, in the midst of the tasks, thinking about glorifying and enjoying God. Working hard, that glorifies Him. Working for His honor. Working in a way that fits His character. Working for His kingdom. And one thing that could be very helpful in that is to have reminders that point you to that. That's why I think something like devotions is such an important thing. Why I encourage you and even challenge you to see how you can fit in the beginning of the day, something that points you to this. You know, even if you just took 5 minutes, you know, pulled into the parking lot at work 5 minutes early and pulled a Bible out of your glove compartment and just took 5 minutes and reminded yourself that this day, before I get out of the car, this day is not about getting things done. It's about doing Martha's work with Mary's heart. It's about enjoying Him. Or at your breakfast table, or whatever it is. That reminder that this day is the Lord's. Yes, there's work to be done. There's sweat and labor. But it's about glorifying and enjoying Him in the midst of it. Honoring Him in the midst of it. And those reminders can be a helpful thing. So, it's not about personality. It's not about the life of the monk is superior to the life of the laborer. But it gets down to Jesus challenging the heart. What is best? Where is your heart in the midst of the task? And I think this is especially important as we enter into the holiday season. Busiest time of the year for most of us. Is that busyness automatically bad? No. But it will be a temptation for us. It will be a temptation to think this is a good holiday season if I get everything checked off. Is that it? Or does it go deeper? Martha's work with Mary's heart. Find yourself going down the wrong direction? Turn around. Remember your first love. Go back. Make time for what is best. Change your orientation. And in the midst of that, you'll see God's grace. At the feet of Jesus, you'll be reminded of what's true and what lasts. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would encourage us with the good news of Jesus. That we would, at His feet, see what you've created us for, what you've put us here for. And so, Lord, as we struggle through, as we fail, and as we look to you for help, we pray that you would refresh us with that good news and that strength. Even this week, even tomorrow, we pray. Use this day as we come before you as your people to guide and speak to our hearts. We will thank you as you do that good work in us and among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.